I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we are going to talk about Rhodesia. We're going to talk about Rhodesia as a warning to the Western world. In fact, a lot of the history of what has gone on in Africa with the colonization movement in Africa. South Africa, I think, probably gets more attention than the other European colonies there, but Rhodesia, which is today modern-day Zimbabwe, is, I think, a very important lesson for Western civilization, for the Western world, and certainly for the United States, because theirs is a history that at a micro level, at a very small level, because the country had a very brief history of independence, and then it came to an end. But what happened, why it came to an end, what it was that brought that about, are exactly the same elements that are at work in the United States today. And really the entire Western world. England, Scotland, Ireland, Sweden, Finland, Norway, Austria, Australia, Canada, etc. All of these different countries are basically experiencing now what Rhodesia went through in its very brief history from 1965 to 1979. Very brief history. And now today it is modern day Zimbabwe being governed by a communist thug who is, Robert Mugabe, who is a thug who strangely was backed by the United States, backed by many Western powers. The last and most memorable prime minister was Ian Smith, Ian Douglas Smith. He was the prime minister of Rhodesia from 1964 to 1979. And Rhodesia had been established as part of the British Commonwealth back in the 19th century. However, it declared its independence in 1965. Under Ian Smith. And then from then on, it was a struggle and it went downhill very, very quickly. But there are many people who write about it. It's very interesting. Ian Smith, its only prime minister, said, because they fought many battles to protect their interests and they won. They won over and over and over again. But he said, "We were not defeated by our enemies. We were betrayed by our friends." And this has been written about a great deal. What inspired me to do this show was a newsletter sent out by Frontline Fellowship. Dr. Peter Hammond has written about this because it was on the 11th of November, 1965. That was the day of armistice when Rhodesia declared its independence from Great Britain. And according to Dr. Hammond and his writings on this, the reason they did that was because Rhodesia had dedicated so many men to the British Empire for World War II. And in fact, Ian Smith was one of those. He served for 6 years during the Second World War, served honorably, and many men who were from Rhodesia served the British Empire during the Second World War. And so the symbolism of them signing their independence on November the 11th was a reminder of the Second World War, World War II that ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, etc. And so this was Ian Smith and Rhodesia's way of reminding the British Empire that they had served honorably. They had dedicated more men to the cause than anyone else per capita during the Second World War. So that is apparently the symbolism there, why they signed their independence. But it's very interesting learning what happened to Rhodesia and the elements of it that you find once you enter this Marxist presence into the problem, because Mugabe was and is a communist. He's a full-blown communist, and he made no bones about it. It was well known. It's just that Western powers, both Great Britain and the United States, chose to support Robert Mugabe, the communist thug, rather than support the Christian. You know, they'll say in modern media, they'll say, well, the whites. And of course they were white, but they were Christian. And so rather than support the Christians who had fought during World War II and served the Allied cause, rather than support them, they chose to support these communist thugs and to get behind them and create all sorts of propaganda. The only thing I can compare it to, if you study what they were saying about Mugabe, I mean, there were people who were hailing Mugabe as though he was some kind of messiah before he came to power. Now, most people, if you go read articles on Mugabe, he's seen as a thug and a murderer, etc. But when ushering him into power, he was hailed as this messiah-type figure, not unlike Nelson Mandela, not unlike Barack Obama, before Obama was elected president here in the United States. In fact, you study the pattern of what happened with Mugabe, with Nelson Mandela, and Barack Obama, it's nearly identical. Nearly identical. All sorts of media propaganda, building up these men as great heroes, which they weren't, and yet using that to sweep them into power and then undermine the countries, the historically Christian countries that they were given charge of. Okay? And the only thing that made it possible was really the presence of Marxist socialist politicians working in the Western world, working in Great Britain, working in the United States, etc. That's the only thing that made it possible. I talked about on an earlier show something I had learned that during 4 years of the Carter administration, while Jimmy Carter was president of the United States, 13 countries fell to communism as a direct result of Jimmy Carter's political policies. And it is said by his critics that there are millions of people, literally, who were mass murdered as a direct result of the decisions that the Carter administration made. Now, obviously, nobody accuses Carter himself of any direct harm toward anybody, but it's almost kind of like Obama and what's happened with ISIS. Because of his policies and the decisions that were made by the Obama administration politically, hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq and Syria have been slaughtered, raped, robbed, murdered, enslaved, etc. As a direct result, Americans lost their lives at Benghazi as a direct result. It's just remarkable to learn how much the United States government, with the exception of Ronald Reagan, Reagan alone seems to have been, at least according to Dr. Hammond, and of course what many conservatives believe here in the United States, I've never seen anything to legitimately refute the idea that Reagan was a lifelong opponent and enemy of communism, long before he became president, long before. But he fought against communism continually. And I highly recommend, as I've done before, the book, None Dare Call It Treason. That is a book that Reagan is said to have bought by the case, handed out to members of his administration. He's said to have read portions of it to people who served with him in the White House. during that time. And I believe information from that book, once he realized what was going on, that is what helped him defeat the Soviet Union. All of that was working together to bring down the Soviet Union. And Reagan certainly resisted communism, but it is still very much at work. Very much at work. And all of, I mean, just think about right now, your own impression of, let's just say, South Africa. Unless you've researched it, chances are what you believe about South Africa is that the whites there stole the land. They had no right to be there. They stole the land from the blacks, who supposedly were the original inhabitants. The whites were a bunch of racists under the apartheid regime. They were these horrible people who oppressed the poor blacks. And so, of course, and then they threw Nelson Mandela in prison because Mandela was really a martyr who was wrongly imprisoned, etc., by the racist white regime. And then eventually he's released from prison and he becomes president because the whites finally were browbeaten by the international community for their racism and their bigotry, etc. And they finally put Mandela in charge of the country. And now Mandela is going to be a true unifier there with the Rainbow Nation in South Africa. All the propaganda sounded great. I remember when Mandela was released from prison. And the only thing I knew about him is what you would see and hear on mainstream TV. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, well, he seems like a heroic guy. Then I remember finding a quote that I think we include this in Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. But there's a quote from Mandela on the New World Order. And I remembered when I first saw the years ago quote from Mandela on the New World Order, where he's supporting the New World Order. And of course, the New World Order is really international communism. That's what it is. A Marxist world order. And I thought, wow, why would Mandela support the New World Order? Does he really know what's going on? Well, come to find out, Nelson Mandela, was a full-blown communist. And he was a terrorist. And he was involved in terrorist activities there in South Africa. He murdered, or caused to be murdered, innocent people. In much the same way, from what I remember reading up on it, very similar to the Boston bombing attack that we had here in the United States, where you just have innocent people who are being bombed and attacked and killed, all as part of a political statement. And that's the kind of thing that Mandela is said to have been involved in. Also, he and his wife, I've read repeatedly that they would deal with their political enemies with a punishment they called necklacing, which is where you take somebody, you tie their hands behind their back, and then you put a rubber tire around their neck, and then you douse it with gasoline and set the tire on fire. It's called necklacing. And this I've read for years. Okay? These are the reports behind the scenes. Now, you can go online and you can find video of Mandela. He would go and he would give speeches that sound very unifying and this kind of thing, and we're all going to be together, and South Africa is going to be one country for everybody, et cetera, et cetera. It all sounds very good. But then you find video of Mandela meeting with his fellow blacks, and they sing a song. They have this song that they sing that's kind of like their anthem, and they sing this song about how they're going to kill the whites. They're going to kill them all. Going to kill the whites, going to kill them all. They have this chant that they sing, okay, where they're singing about killing all the white folks. And once the apartheid came to an end, the word apartheid simply means separation. And once that separation came to an end, that's exactly what started to happen, is the whites began to be killed in these savage farm murders that have continued right up to this very hour. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we are talking about Rhodesia as a lesson for Western civilization. Before we went to the break, I was talking about the situation in South Africa, what went on there with Nelson Mandela, etc., and the impression that I think many Americans have about South Africa is that the whites in South Africa are all just a bunch of racists because of the apartheid, etc. But a lot of that is propaganda from the media. And what I've learned by researching it for the past few years is that what they are doing in South Africa is essentially what they did in Rhodesia, and it's what they're currently doing, the communists, in the United States, and in really all the Western countries. They're doing the same thing. All of these relentless, endless accusations of racism and bigotry, which we hear in our country every single day. This is essentially what the Christian colonists have endured in Africa. And it has everything to do with why Rhodesia was ultimately overthrown. And ultimately, you had other countries, really, you had Western countries. Here's a quote I want to read here from the, this is from a newsletter from Frontline Fellowship that says, "Remember Rhodesia, pray for Zimbabwe." Zimbabwe is now the name of the country once known as Rhodesia. Rhodesia came to an end. The Rhodesians lost their country. Their country's over. Their country has now been replaced by Zimbabwe, which is really now a Marxist country. Okay, kind of like Russia replaced by the Soviet Union. It's essentially the same thing. But how did it happen? Well, here's a quote I talked about before. This is from Dr. Hammond's article. He says, quote, "As the Prime Minister of Rhodesia, Mr. Ian Smith declared, we were never beaten by our enemies. We were betrayed by our friends." We were betrayed by our friends. You know, it reminds me, as I've been studying this whole thing, it reminds me of what we read in the scripture in Psalm chapter 55, verse 12, where it says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Okay. Then you have the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 41, where it says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And of course, that's quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verse 18, where Jesus is talking about the betrayal of Judas. He says, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. John 13, 18. And, you know, I've talked about this socialist movement, this Marxist movement in the West. I call it the Judas Iscariot Coalition. And for me, this confirms it. It just confirms it that much more. In fact, Ian Smith has a book that you can find online called The Great Betrayal. And there's some very interesting reviews on it on Amazon. But his book, The Great Betrayal, is how Rhodesia was betrayed by Western powers. There's an interesting review from somebody who read the book. He said this, the reviewer said, quote, Ian Smith loved his country and stayed there until his death, and after it turned into the horrid Mugabe's Zimbabwe. There is no greater sadness than when a man loses his own country. It worries me that the U.S. may go the way of Rhodesia, because the same thinking and forces are weighed against it, just as it is against all the countries of the West. The outposts of the West have fallen. How long until the disease reaches the heart? That's the words of this reviewer here on Amazon. Okay? And so, very, very interesting. The Great Betrayal. But here's what Dr. Hammond says in his article on this. He says, quote, in the First and Second World Wars and in the Malayan conflict, Rhodesia had provided more men, percentage to their population, than any other part of the British Empire and Commonwealth to fight for the West. However, when Rhodesia was targeted by Soviet and Red Chinese trained and supported revolutionaries, their British, Canadian, Australian, and American allies not only placed economic sanctions on Rhodesia, but even channeled funds towards the very terrorists who were murdering their people. That is remarkable. Now, what's even more remarkable is what Dr. Hammond says next. And I heard him preach this in a sermon that you can find online. He talked about it, but then he also included it in this article. He says, quote, it is often forgotten that Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF revolutionaries received United Nations funding, despite its terrorist record of murdering missionaries, bayoneting babies, burning to death congregations of Christians in their church buildings, ambushing Red Cross ambulances, exploding bombs in public streets, placing landmines in farm roads, and the cold-blooded murder of thousands of unarmed civilians. In fact, now listen to this. He says, quote, in fact, the World Council of Churches also channeled church funds to these Marxists who were murdering missionaries and burning churches, end quote, from Dr. Hammond. Now, Dr. Hammond says he has researched this, and he talks about it in this sermon, and he was very adamant about the fact that the World Council of Churches channeled church funds to finance these Marxists who were persecuting Christians. That, to me, is very, very disturbing. Very disturbing. But it is like so many stories that are out there and that are being reported about what's going on. Because when you look at what's happening, you look at the rise of ISIS, for example, and how ISIS came together and how nobody is really putting a stop to this bloodthirsty band of jihadis that are raping, robbing, murdering, enslaving, etc., even though we in the West are well able to put a stop to this, but nobody will. All right, now this next quote is also very, very interesting. Dr. Hammond says, blasphemous idolatry. That's his heading for this next part. He says, quote, when Mugabe's ZANU-PF Marxist revolutionaries were handed power in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, Bishop Tutu of the South African Council of Churches declared that this was, quote, the arrival of the kingdom of God in Zimbabwe. All right, I'm going to do just one more quote from this article. Dr. Hammond says, quote, the United Nations, the U.S. State Department, the British Foreign Office, the European Community, the Organization of African Unity, the Commonwealth, the World Council of Churches, the Olympic Committee, Time Magazine, the Washington Post, and most of the media worldwide united in campaigning for the downfall of Rhodesia and the handover of that once peaceful and productive country to the violent Marxist revolutionary Robert Mugabe. As we can see, it's a truly international, a globalist effort. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.